Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Now it is time to pivot, to become agents of change. Join us each week as we provide relevant content for the economic developers' pivot from reaction to renaissance. We believe that when leaders get stronger, communities thrive.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Carla Sones, and I'm once again here with Ron Kitchens. And this week, we're going to be talking about another section of the Moving from Crisis to Renaissance ebook. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit more about your people and your team and how, as Ron mentioned last week, this ebook was meant to be a guide or a map and for leaders to begin to be able to ask themselves some critical questions, because we all know that managing and leading during crisis and during change is difficult. People go to school and get full degrees in change leadership because that's what it takes to navigate a lot of change. And we certainly have been through a lot of change in the past several months as a nation and as leaders. And so this week we're going to talk about your people and your team and how to make sure that you're keeping a pulse. So before we dive in, Ron, just curious to see how you're doing this week.
You know, I am incredibly awesome. And I don't just say that because, you know, awesome's my thing, but I am so supercharged by the leadership I'm seeing. Young people stepping up. But sound like, you know, really I'm seeing people step up and lead in different ways. I'm seeing skill sets that maybe we didn't value as much before. Maybe they were softer. Maybe, you know, in a time where we're working in a fury and we're all in meetings elsewhere, you don't see them. But now that we're all Zooming together and we're much more psychologically connected, I think physical boundaries that we've had to establish have created either incredible disconnect on some teams. But for our team, I think by and large, it's created a psychological connection. Part of it is I think we all like and love each other. And so we were spending too much time on Zoom some days together. But I wouldn't bet against renaissance. And, you know, if you look at the root of the word renaissance, it means renewal, to renew. And so we go back to the idea of renew. Well, this was in a time where people would live to be, you know, old was 30. We're in a time now where at 30, people are just coming into this amazing leadership. Once we figure out what the new rules of the game are, man, I'm excited about where we're going to go and the people we're going to do it with. And what I'm seeing, you know, and talking with our economic development clients from all over the country, it is a great time to reinvention, renewal, and reengagement.
I 100% agree, Ron. And I think, you know, it is a really exciting time. But as we mentioned, you know, the change element is hard. And I know you and I have been very transparent with each other about just the highs and lows we've both experienced during all of this. You know, like there's moments in learning how to navigate an immense amount of change. And that's not just change in your workplace and how you do your work, but it's change in your social circles and your family networks and how you structure your home and education for kids. And the list goes on and on and on, depending on your individual circumstances. And that change at times was really energizing. At times it was really scary. And you kind of almost like it zapped all of your energy. And then sometimes it was really inspiring. Sometimes it was really challenging. Sometimes it was really lonely. Sometimes it was, you felt like everybody was with you. It's really kind of weird to think about all the emotions that you can feel as you're going through a change. And it strikes me that that's not just you and I's experience. That's every member of our team's experience. And when we were energized, they might have been feeling energy zapped. And when we were feeling inspired, they might have been feeling like the world was ending. And so you really have to have a good pulse. And I feel like now is the time, as the economy begins to open back up and as the future begins to, even though there's a lot of unknowns, you can start to see pieces coming back together again. It's time to really revitalize and to revitalize your people, because now is the time to do really great things and to be innovative and to kind of make moves. And you can't do that if your team is really burnt out or feels really disconnected. So it's so important to spend time really taking a pulse on your people. And even if you think you've had a pulse, recheck it, because things change rapidly.
When you're in the hospital, the nurse checks your pulse 6 or 8 times a day. And as leaders, we think, oh, well, you know, the really bad leaders, they'll do it once a year with an employee survey. And those that feel engaged will do it quarterly. But I'm telling you, in times like this, you need to be doing it at a minimum weekly, because people are having different experiences that they've never had before. And that's informing who they are. And so you got to constantly scan that landscape. What are those things that to be vulnerable? You know, it's daycare is not an issue for me, but for half of our team, it is. You know, we've returned to the office, you know, mid early June, can't return to the 1st of July because of childcare issues. And so as an organization, we not only have to be understanding and grant grace, but we have to understand that there's a fear that comes. Well, if everybody else is back and I'm not back, are they talking about me? Is my career being impacted negatively? Am I going to get left out? You know, what's going to happen if I'm not there? And the self-talk in our brain, our brains are wired for that. And we have to work really hard. But the best way to combat that is have a team or leaders who say, got you. If I was you, here would be the self-talk that I would have in my brain, and here's why it would be wrong. And so if that's what you're having in your head, know that that's wrong. And so I think it's really important that we do that and have that empathy for others. And that's going to be, I think it's till the first quarter of 2021 that we have to have that, because there will be this overlying fear, sense of dread, anxiety that, you know, is Christmas going to be quarantine Christmas? Is this going to be, you know, when is it going to hit? I was on a podcast with some healthcare experts out of Boston, this morning. And the, you know, their thing was, they didn't expect to see, you know, a rebound of the virus. So it'd be something else. There's always a new flu. You know, we think of the flu as always the same thing. So the flu is brand new every year. It's a completely different virus every year. So there will be something. They don't expect COVID to be the next rebound thing. But we've all been told by the media that, oh my gosh, get it all done, you know, before fall. So you just got to be empathetic on those things.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit about, just as leaders, how hard it is to keep a pulse on your stakeholders. And, you know, there's so many people that you're trying to collect information from. And just recognizing that when it comes to your people, it's so mission critical for your own leadership to really make sure that you have a good pulse. And that doesn't mean that that has to fall all on you. I think great leaders recognize the people on their team that have really good intuition about how people are feeling and have really strong relationship skills on the team. And they obviously go and collect the pulse themselves, but also check in with those people that are really trusted members of the team that have really good, just that we've all met those people that just have a really, like, almost like a sixth sense of like how a room is feeling about something. And check in with those people, like, let them know you're going to lean on them during this time to, and you're going to ask them, like, how do you think the team is doing? What are you seeing that I should know? Because as you make decisions, walking into them knowing the state of your team is so important. And it really helps when you're delivering messages and you're delivering messages about more change, or maybe it's time to get back to something that, you know, we've moved away from during this time, but it's time to get back to a normal practice. Some people may be all in, fully ready, and some people may be on the fence thinking like it's a little bit too early. And so kind of having that pulse helps you to craft that message in a way that's sensitive to where everybody is. It doesn't change the outcome of what decision you make, but it does change the way that you can deliver it in a way that keeps the team strong and together. And so I think that, you know, taking that pulse and having those kind of culture keepers who understand your people and are also taking a pulse is so important. In the guidebook, Ron, we also talked about, you know, keeping employee well, being front and centered, and really that trust among your team. Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, for us, like we moved remote and then we moved back in kind of hybrid teams, and there was all kinds of emotions on all fronts at different times, like I mentioned, of how you felt in that remote and work environment, or how you felt about coming back on different days of the week than other people. What do you feel like as leaders, people need to be asking themselves in terms of like, how are you making sure that you're putting employee well-being in the center and really maintaining trust?
So I think the first thing is, in this time of crisis, is companies, if you're going to expect your employees to work from home, you need to make sure they have the resources to do that. That means ergonomic chairs. That means having a delivery service. You know, we happen to use Herman Miller Arion chairs, or our office chairs. They are great chairs, but they're really, really heavy. And so I can't expect our 105-pound, I'm probably exaggerating, she's probably lighter than that, you know, head of team engagement to be able to deliver her own chair, let alone, you know, deliver chairs to everybody else's house. So, you know, I used my pickup truck one day and delivered chairs and told people to take monitors home. You know, we're telling people that, you know, if there's a rebound, we have extra chairs. Let's leave chairs at your house just in case. And right now for the month of June, we worked part-time at home. We're going to work Fridays at home all summer. So it means having twice as many chairs. But people, you can't expect them to be at home using their own internet, using their own printer, using all of this stuff themselves, and to not have the benefits of your office. So you've got to do that. You've also got to make sure that you're being appreciative to the sacrifice that their families are making, that, and families may be extended. So we have team members who, because we knew we were going to be gone for a couple of months, scattered around the country and went and lived at their parents' house or with, you know, a boyfriend or a significant other. And so there were sacrifices that were made, and we need to acknowledge those. In some cases, it's acknowledge those that, you know, we sent donuts for National Donut Day. You know, now the person who sent them is a very healthy eater, so they sent one donut. I'm a dozen. I would have sent a dozen, but we'll deal with that later. But the fact of the matter is, you just got to take care of people as well or better when they're remote than you do when they're in the office. And let's be clear, it's harder. No one, I can't find anyone anywhere that has done world-class team engagement where the majority of their team members are remote. You know, we can talk about airlines tried to do it, but, you know, none of those airlines have world-class team engagement scores. We've talked about other things that have tried to do it, but in the preponderance of their employees. So we have to figure out what this looks like, how it all works together. Because my worry isn't that, you know, oh gosh, we're going to have people that, you know, will get another virus or another shutdown and our folks are going to be at home. Can they do their jobs? I know they can do their jobs, but they're going to have to do their jobs with kids at home. And in some cases with the spouse at home. And, you know, in my case, it was my daughter came home from New York because she too, you know, is working from home. Well, our internet couldn't handle the three of us with multiple devices going on. So, you know, I'm scrambling to find a new system. By the way, it's AAERO, Arrow. I'm not getting paid for them, but if they want to send something, that would be great. But Arrow system is incredible because it's a mesh network that goes over your home. It's a couple hundred bucks. Incredible. But we would not have been able to do that. So I need to make sure that our team has that if we have to go back, I want our team to be able to get these aero networks, because it made life at my house much better. Because for a while, Lynn was in the car running her laptop off of the Wi-Fi in her car. And this is silly. And I know we all have those stories. Take care of your people and they will take care of you. If you don't take care of them and they can work for remotely, why wouldn't they work remotely for your competitor? Huh? Why? And that's what's going to happen. You're going to see huge shifts in our country. If people try to save money thinking they can make people work remotely, just go out of business now. Just decide. Because if you're not fully committed to engaging your employees, you won't exist 5 years from now.
Yeah. And I think one thing that we learned during this time, too, is that, you know, all of the things that you can do in the office where people just see you and can chat with you, that changes when you're not like walking to the bathroom past somebody or like walking to the kitchen or even coming in or going to the copier. And I think I know you and I have both talked about it, but as kind of point leaders of the organization, really early on became very clear that people needed to feel connected to you and I especially. And that meant that there were lots of interruptions during the day. It was very different than being in the workplace where I thought we were in a lot of meetings before, but somehow it felt like a lot more meetings when we were actually at home. And a lot of that was just making sure that the team had access and could check in, because that's what they needed. And that meant a sacrifice of when you do your focused work time, a lot of times it was not in work hours, because that's when you could actually get that quiet time. But you need to be willing to serve your team, especially in times of a lot of change, because people struggle in times of change. They feel disconnected. They feel unattached. And they want to feel, in order to be productive, you need to have that sense of security and you need to feel like you trust what's happening and you're in the know. And if that meant that we needed to spend more time on the phone with people during the day, that's what it was going to take. And knowing that it's all going to eventually get back into a good rhythm, but you have to do what you have to do to keep your team right. And that means major sacrifices from leadership. And just a very intentional eye on what they need.
Yeah, to the point that we had to mandate days off. So we had to tell everybody that in about an 8-day period, everyone had to take a day off, not an unpaid day. This wasn't financial. This was a mental health day. And because people were all going at this unsustainable level. And unless we stopped people and said, breathe, 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 we were going to crash. And we're still running on that edge pretty fine. But 4th of July is coming and we always take long periods at that because, frankly, our phone quits ringing and nobody wants to talk to us. So that'll help with our team. But yeah, the rules are out the window with the exception of love and unbelievable respect for people. And you just got to show the grace that comes with that respect. And if we do that well, we get to thrive. If we don't do that well, that's the ante into the game. And we're just not going to get to play our next hand. And you don't deserve to. If you can't take care of people at that level, then you really just don't deserve to continue.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for leaders out there that are re-onboarding their teams back into the office or back into their businesses and facilities, you know, there's so many protocols and so many things that you have to consider right now in order to, you know, practice social distancing and keep everybody safe, not only physically, but psychologically safe. And I would just caution leaders to just also think about, you know, re-onboarding is more than just those safety concerns. It's about yet another change that your employees are having to think about. And that may mean they're leaving their kids in a different childcare situation than they have before. That may mean that they're all of a sudden now readjusting to a different time of getting up and a different routine, and also readjusting to how to socially do work right next to somebody again. And there's going to be hiccups with that. Like, and any culture change that you have as a team, there's always going to be hiccups. And so just giving people a little bit of grace as you begin to adapt back. And it's not just about, you know, whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask and people figuring all of that out and figuring out, you know, all of the social distancing stuff. It's also about figuring out how to re-engage with your team in person again, because for many people, they've been trying to do that remotely. So just extending that grace and really thinking about re-onboarding is more than just cleaning.
It is. But great organizations will figure out a way to do it and will thrive. And as it should be, all will be well in the world.
All right. Well, Ron, that concludes part two of our three-part series. And next week, we're going to be talking about reinvigorating your leadership. Many of us have been at a point of near burnout during all of this crisis. Leading in crisis and reinvigorating your own leadership is so important, as well as reinvigorating your bottom line. Because I don't know about everybody else, but the funding landscape is a little bit different. For us, like, we ran a company that was very events driven, and my goodness, events have completely changed. So reinvigorating your bottom line and reinvigorating your own leadership is on tap for next week.
Hey everyone, I'm here today with Steve Jast, who is the president and founder of Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. Hey Steve, it's great to speak with you today. As one of the leading voices in investment attraction and lead generation, what has stuck out the most for you over the past few months?
Hi Faye, thanks so much for the question. First and foremost, let me say that I love the content that Consultant Connect has been generating. I'd also like to take a second to wish all of our listeners continued good health. Every day is really a new adventure. We're seeing some sad stories of industries and companies in steep, unexpected decline, and we're also seeing areas of growth and opportunity. A couple of areas that have generated significant strategic discussion center around supply chain and reshoring. To help economic developers blend these into their strategic plans moving forward, we've been providing complementary data pulls and access to our Gazelle AI platform.
That's really awesome, Steve. I'm sure this data has helped many economic development organizations. Can you explain how exactly Gazelle AI helps?
Sure. Yeah, great question, Faye. Our platform includes supply chain data for over 900 industries with related company listings. We also have complete company hierarchies, meaning users can build lists of companies that have an HQ in a specific state or country with manufacturing activities in other specific countries. This is ideal for economic recovery planning, reshoring business attraction strategies, understanding local supply chains, and overall investment attraction.
Wow. Thanks, Steve. Hey, everyone, if you would like to activate your complimentary access to Gazelle AI, connect with Steve by emailing him at Steve, STEVE, at gazelle.ai. That's Steve at gazelle.ai. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Tune in again next week for more insight and relevant content to the issues impacting economic development today. America's Jobs Team podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment and Gazelle AI.